Bankruptcies on the rise and an upward tick in the markets. Hello, Michigan. I'm Greg Allen. This is Michigan Ag Today. New data from the U.S. court filing show farm bankruptcies rising again, a troubling sign for family farms from coast to coast and with particular impacts in the Midwest.
Chapter 12 bankruptcies increased for the second year in a row in 2025, reaching 315 filings. That's up 46% from 2024. That second increase in a row shows that the farm economy, as we've been talking about, is really struggling and excessive debt loads are starting to hit family farms.
That was Samantha Ayoub, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. The Midwest and Southeast led the increase, reflecting continued financial stress from rising input costs and weakening commodity receipts.
When you have some good years, that capital might be able to get you through a few downturns. We know we've seen declining receipts for 4 years now, and we're just starting to see that second year in a row of increases in bankruptcies. And then secondly, a majority of farms actually don't qualify for Chapter 12 farm bankruptcies. In order to qualify, you have to make the majority of your family income from farming.
For communities that depend on agriculture, the rise in bankruptcies can ripple outward, affecting local feed stores, equipment dealers, processing plants, and Main Street businesses.
We are seeing our fourth year in a row of declining cash receipts, driven largely by crop losses, as well as high-cost specialty crop production really facing negative or very thin margins, even some of our livestock receipts and markets weakening a bit. All of that compounds to a very difficult situation when we're also seeing increasing production costs.
Farmers and farm groups warn that without stronger support and more stable prices, continued stress in the farm economy could lead to more closures in the coming year.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Warmer air trying to take control over the Great Lakes region. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at your forecast update. Warm air is coming in close to the surface. We're not necessarily seeing it take control aloft yet, but I think over the weekend and into early next week, we see warm air even aloft trying to come in here. What this does for us, I think, is keep us dry for the most part here today. I think late this afternoon, we have to watch for a little bit of moisture trying to sneak through far northeastern tier counties of the state. But it may just be some cloud cover. And as we move through tomorrow, we have a significant area of low pressure trying to come together down in the deep south, but it throws moisture up into central Illinois, central Indiana. That is the farthest north it gets, and we are going to be staying dry here with a mix of clouds and sunshine. Sunday turns out pleasant as well. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, quite mild. Colder air tries to come back down in at Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, and that triggers some precipitation. I'm looking for rain through most of Wednesday, quarter to three quarters of an inch coverage, 100% of Michigan. We follow that up with a much more significant low trying to track through the Great Lakes region Thursday night into Friday. Can see a quarter to 1 inch of rain out of that one. Coverage again, 100%. That system opens the door up to much colder air that comes in for Friday night through Saturday the 21st to Sunday the 22nd. I won't rule out some on again, off again light snow showers on the 22nd. And then the cold air wants to park all the way through the following week as well. Potential, though, for a big low-pressure area to come through Tuesday the 24th. Could be rain, could be snow, could be both. We're watching that one closely. Track will be very important. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
National FFA Week is February 21st through the 28th, a week set aside for FFA students across the country to share how FFA impacts members every day. I'm National FFA Secretary Lily Nyland from Michigan. What better way to show your support of FFA than to get involved in FFA Week? Whether it's in person, on the phone, or via social media, be sure to share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week, February 21st through the 28th.
Final numbers from yesterday are coming your way, but now let's take a closer look at what happened in the markets. The overall market remains sensitive to export demand versus higher carryover stocks. Corn futures were slightly higher or modestly up on the day, while soybeans were trading higher, with futures up noticeably. Here's Eric Pfeiffer, along with Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting, for a closer look.
Another shot in the arm. The rally continues for soybean futures. We've got some more rumors coming from China. Was that the only factor on Thursday?
That was a big one. That definitely was a big one. China relations with the United States definitely starting to improve. China has bought soybeans. We didn't see a sale to them today, but we did see 108,000 metric tons, being sold to Egypt. China and the U.S. starting to talk about soy oil a lot more, and that's really becoming a pretty hot topic in that complex and really giving the market some underlying support. Soybeans also taking support from South American weather. Looking at the Argentine soybean crop and the official group Baji coming out and saying that the second crop that is planted in Argentina, the later developing soybeans, 38% in drought conditions, and they have started to walk back their yield estimates a little bit. Let's add to this, first thing this morning, CONAB was out with a Brazilian soybean crop estimate, 177.89 million metric tons. While that is a huge soybean crop, it's coming in a little over 2 million metric tons less than what the USDA projected just back last Tuesday here in the WASD update. So a lot of fundamental factors tying together to support that soy complex. Corn also finding support from a good weekly export sales number. Sales total topping 2 million metric tons, a 100% increase from a week before and well above trade expectations. Now looking at a cumulative corn number, sales of 80.3 million metric tons for the year, rapidly closing in on the yearly USDA estimate, with 6 months left to go in the year. Wheat up today, mostly on spread trading, and spread trading did impact the entire marketplace. That's why we saw a few more gains on the nearby contracts than the deferreds. This is a result of the Goldman roll that does wrap up at the end of today's session.
And that was Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. March corn finished at 431 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. May corn was working the high side, 441 and 3/4 at 5 1/4. March soybeans showed gains, up 13 and a quarter at 1137 and a quarter. May beans also with a lot of strength at 1152 and a quarter, up 12 3/4. March wheat up 15 and a quarter, 552 and a half. April live cattle showing some weakness, down 32 cents to 240.65. And April hogs down as well, $2.02 to $91.82. I'm Greg Allen, Michigan Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.